Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
I got a great word for you tonight. Two things, okay? I want you to take a picture of this. I want you to write it down. But at this church, we love the word. We really do. We hate the devil, but we love the word. And understand this. And here's how I keep things straight in my heart. I keep it real simple. And John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. Okay, so from the very beginning, man, God made it known that he was his word. Well, then Jesus was the word made flesh. He came down, he came to earth as a man, yet still God. Why? Because of God's word, God's promise that was so active in his heart and in his life and thorough. And that's where the Christ part of it comes in for us. But we absolutely love the word. And we put such an extreme, I want you to know, an extreme premium on God's promises. See, so much so that when things happen in our lives, and this is kind of what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. When things happen to us in our lives, that it's like, wait a second, what is happening? What is going on? And we always have to go and listen, take a stand on God's promise. But see, take a stand to the point where the Bible tells us to lay hold of that which is laid hold of us. See, God's word, Jesus has laid hold of my life. See, I'd like to tell you that I made the decision in that drunk tank in Warren County, Missouri, and said, that's it. I'm going to go to church in the morning, and I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Man, yeah, I had those thoughts, but what I've learned since then is Jesus said, you didn't choose me. He said, I chose you, and I've appointed you. See, so that really is a game changer. Because all that does, that expresses such a love that God has for us that he didn't wait for us to pick him. See, God says, man, while you still hated me, I loved you. Man, God has loved us on the worst days of our life. God's loved us so much. See, that's why his forgiveness is so easy for us to ascertain when we realize that his love for us, that we can't measure it. There's nothing that we could ever experience that would give us a parallel to God's love in our lives. See, and that's how this works. Man, on your best day, on your worst day, when you're kicking the pooch, whatever it is, I mean, God loves you. And what we have to understand, and here's what's important, is you know what true ministry is? I don't think most people know this. But see, to me, true ministry, and this is what I've said all along, it's hooking up with Jesus and helping people. But you know what true ministry is? Valuing people. That's true ministry. When we help people find a value for their lives. And I think we miss that way too often. But the biggest thing that we could do for people in Tulsa, in Skytook, in Sepulpa, is to value people. Man, you guys that have businesses, you guys that have employees, you have a staff, man, value that staff. Man, treat them like you would your family. And see, and that's the heart of God, because that's how this is. You know, I was finishing these notes, and I was going back over them this morning. And I just said, God, is there anything else? And it's interesting because, man, Colossians 3:16 rose up in my heart. And this is kind of an add-on that somehow is a word of the Lord for you tonight. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. I've circled and highlighted the word richly in that verse in my Bible. Man, the word of God, let it dwell in you, man, and produce incredible value and incredible wealth in your soul. In John, the 8th chapter, in the 31st and 2nd verses, it says that Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. See, I'm telling you right there, man, if you're suffering an addiction, man, if you've got a past that you're having a hard time getting over, Man, it's the truth that sets us free, but we have to live in it. We have to put our hope in it. And listen, how this is that abiding in his word. He said, look, abide in my word. The literal translation of that is hold on to my word and latch on to my word only. Don't trust anything else. Man, trust my word. Hold on to my word. If you hold on to my word, you're my disciples indeed. See, that's the bottom line with this for everything in our lives, is that we hold on to God's word, that we put God's word first in our lives. And I'll tell you, God's word's perfect. And God's word perfects us. You know, you've heard people say, there's bumper stickers, and they'll say, you know, man, we're not perfect, we're just forgiven. But hang on. And I get all that, okay? But God's word is perfect. And God's word perfects us. Yes, you know what? We're the ones, we bring the imperfection into the mix, into the equation. Yeah, the imperfection's easy, that's us. But understand that a blanket over everything that you hear tonight, everything that you choose to allow to come into your heart and maybe shape your doctrine a little bit. See, that's what we have to understand. You have to understand, man, I'm here and I want to help you shape and mold your doctrine. Man, nobody's going to force you to believe a certain way. But you understand that I have to stand before the Lord and make account for your soul, meaning giving you an opportunity to think a different way. See, that's all this is. See, the world calls us human beings, but you know what we really are? We're godly doings, man. We're here to do great exploits for God. Man, we're here to put God first in our life and do great and mighty things that we weren't even aware of before. Man, what God wants to do in your life, man, it exceeds any bit of goal or aspiration that you could have ever had. But you know why? It's because his word is working mightily in us. It's because his word is perfect, and his word right now is perfecting us. His word's perfecting you tonight. Man, his word what his word is, the preaching of God's word. This is why church services are so vital. Because what it is when the word's being preached, man, this word doesn't just hover over you. Man, it goes right, the target is the human spirit, and it goes right in your spirit, and it's like you being on that potter's wheel, and what the word does is it keeps that clay in your heart soft where God can just take it and begin to mold and groom you. Man, that's what God's doing for you tonight. Man, God's making you, and dwelling in you, listen, richly. Man, richly. Man, that's the great equation is, yeah, we're imperfect, but his word is perfecting us. His word's doing a work in us. You know, there's three things that bring this perfecting progress into our lives. And this is important. The important is that we're on a progression here. See, because I think too often we want to process things, or we want to look at it like we're in the process. And really, honestly, I think people get stuck in the process, trying to process something, trying to figure something out. But you know what? Man, there's a snag in that. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But if you look at it rather than the process of what you're going through, but you look at the progress of it, that, Alan, what you're dealing with right now in your life, God's just making you stronger. And what it is when we put the word into play in our life and we hold on to the word in what we're dealing with, then you know what? That word begins to perfect us, and now there's a progression that happens in our life. See, the progression of our life, that I'm not the man I was 36 or 7 years ago when I gave my life to Jesus. I'm not the man I was 5 years ago or a year ago. I'm not the man I was 6 months ago. Man, God's doing something in my life. There's such a progress. You know, I know we're in a capital campaign right now, and we're just about ready to start it. We're all gonna start giving like nobody's business. But let me just tell you, man, the capital part of it has nothing to do with what God's doing in my heart, though. What God's doing in my heart is that he's made me so appreciative of what he and all the teams and the army of people that are here able to accomplish, and the lives that are truly changed forever. And people that maybe have been castaways. People that have been overlooked. See, I want to pastor a church where it's impossible for you to be overlooked here. I want to pastor a church where it's impossible for you to be like that kid on the end of the bench. Things aren't going real well out of the court. And the coach is looking down the bench, and man, you're looking right at him thinking, man, put me in, I'll give everything I have. But you get overlooked. See, we've all been in those kind of situations before. But what if this is a place where you're not overlooked? What if this is a place where, man, God puts you in to his plan? See, that's what this campaign is for me. Man, what God showed me was that Joshua said, we're crossing over. Man, you priests, man, grab the Ark of the Covenant. In this church, that would be like the elders. You elders that are in here, stand now if you could. Just stand. You guys, these guys grab a hold of the ark and they're taking it across. And you know what? As they take it, the tributaries that are coming to the Jordan are cut off and water starts to heap up. Man, and you're looking and now you're looking at them as they're following Jesus, and who's the author? Man, looking into Jesus, the author, listen, and the finisher of our faith. So now we're going across on dry land. But you know what the Bible says, and this is the word of the Lord, and this is kind of marching orders for the elders of this house, is as you're holding God's presence in the middle of the Jordan, that everyone crossed completely. Even the stragglers, that nobody was overlooked. Everybody got to experience for the first time in their lives, man, that land that flows with milk and honey. Man, think about that. See, that's where we're going. That's where this next 2-year journey is gonna take me in my life and you in your life. Man, it's so exciting. I'm so excited about everything that God's doing here. It's just remarkable. Thank you, guys. Sit down. Give these guys a hand, will you? Come on, give them a hand. A little better than that. So now this perfecting progress, I don't know if that's even grammatically correct now that I'm saying it, but this perfecting progress that we're in, number one, here's where it starts. God's word is the foundation of our lives. The foundation. That's why you've got to get over that abortion you suffered. It's why you got to get over that abuse that happened in your life, maybe as a child or as a teenager or your first marriage or whatever it was. You've got to get over that addiction that you have right now that's operating in your life. Because otherwise, all those things want to be is a part of the foundation of your life. And let me tell you, man, when there's a shift in the atmosphere, when there's a shift in the earth, if that foundation is cracked at all, man, it's gonna be unlevel. It's gonna be, you're gonna trip on that for the rest of your lives. See, we're talking about life here. We're talking about the rest of our life is gonna be the best days that we could never even imagined of. Man, that our latter days are gonna be so spectacular and so amazing. What if that's the truth? What if what I'm saying is the truth? I'm expecting my latter days to be spectacular. I'm making some huge changes in my mindset right, even right now as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a minister, as a pastor. Man, nothing I'd rather do in my life than lead God's people out of the crap that they've been in and into that promised place. And if I've got to stand in the middle of that Jordan until every single person crosses, I'm going to do it. And you know what? I know that's your heart. See, we're going to lead people to that promised land, that promised place, the land of the living, the land of continual and constant eternal hope where there's no disappointment. God's word is the foundation of our lives, and that's just it. Otherwise, you know what? Man, pop culture will want to be our... Man, pop culture wants a part of it. Fashion, trends, music... Politicians, man, they want to be a part of the fabric of our foundation. And you know what? We're not allowing pop culture to be a part of the fabric of our foundation. Our foundation is based upon God's promise, period, end of subject. We are putting a premium on God's word like nobody ever has. The other things that aren't going to be able to be a part of that foundation are the facts. This is a hard one. And there's so many people that have a diagnosis. And I got a diagnosis. I know God's a healer. I know God heals, but why isn't it happening? See, that's because you've got God's promise as a part of the foundation of your life, but you've also got the facts as a part of that foundation too. Man, I was talking to Roger Walsh, an elder in this church, before the service, and he and I talked to a man that I hopefully didn't suffer offense, but the bottom line was is that we talked to him, and afterwards he wasn't receptive to what we had to say. And really, honestly, I felt almost cornered to say what I said in the meeting that we had. Like, he's like, just tell me, just give me it directly. Don't sugarcoat it for me. I said, well, sir, you're double-minded, man. The Bible says you're unstable in all your ways and should expect to receive nothing of the Lord. Well, let me tell you, that's good news. Man, when I get that kind of spiritual diagnosis in my life, and let me tell you, I have before. You don't think that people in my family, you don't think people on the staff, you don't think these elders have not said, whoa, wait a minute. If it ever starts getting over there. But you know what was interesting is Roger and I were talking before the service, and you know what he said? He was putting God's word on trial. See, that's not our place. We're not here, let the world put Jesus on trial. That's not us. Man, we're just here to, remember Sunday, to be Jonathan's armor bearer and say, Lord, whatever's in your heart, I'll do it. It doesn't matter to God to say by many or by few. Whatever's in your heart. I know it sounds crazy. It sounds crazy that I pledged this amount of money over 2 years. And listen, it's not about the money. It's about us crossing completely. That's the biggest thing for me. Man, traditions. Man, I think that so many people, I thank God. When I talk to people that were raised in church and had a bad experience in church as children and teenagers, I thank God I wasn't. Because traditions will mess with people. And we'll know the truth. And the truth will set us free. Not the facts, not traditions of men. Not religion. Listen, maybe not how the entire rest of the business world in your marketplace reacts and responds to things. Maybe you don't. Because maybe there's truth that comes alive in your heart rather than you just following the facts. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. No, never. But see, traditions will try to take up a part of that foundation. Reasoning. Proverbs 16:25 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Man, God says it this way, and it's real simple. My ways aren't your ways, says the Lord. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than yours as the heavens are above the earth. Man, that's the kind of thoughts that I want to have. I want to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be at that height with God. A new level of living. Man, this band, they've got very strict, very simple marching orders for these services. They accomplished it. They rang the bell tonight. But you know what the marching orders are? Lift the room. Lift the room. We're not going to let people stay depressed in here. We're not going to let people stay anxious in here. We're not going to let people stay through the music and doubt God's promise and doubt God's ability and wonder where God's faithfulness is. It's going to change the atmosphere in here as they sing and as they play and they smack those drums and everything that they do. just lift the room. Man, you think about how many times you've been in here and a band's been on the stage and you've been lifted. The room, the atmosphere, your life has been lifted. Man, another thing that keeps us from having God's word as the foundation of our lives is our feelings. And just in your notes, just write this down. Feelings will lie to you. My feelings are big fat liars. They lie. Oh, I know what you're thinking of me. No, I realize you're not thinking of me. You're not. I'm really not that big a deal for you to be thinking of me. And that's how things work. But then it's like, if God be for us, who could be against us? See, what that does is it decimates our feelings being a part of our foundation. So number one, in us having the perfecting progression in our lives is that we have to put God's first as the only foundation for our lives. Number two, God's word is how we grow. God's word is how we grow in wisdom, in knowledge, in our relationships, in our marriage, in our vocation, in our business. You want your business to grow? Every part of your business, listen to me, every part of your business, you have God's promise, God's word to stand on. Because his word never fails. Not one good word that God gave to Israel ever fell dead to the ground. God's word will always, it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and will never, ever fall short of accomplishing how God said it. See, that's what we have to understand. God's word is the game changer. God's word is what moves the chains in our lives and keeps us alive, keeps us living the life that God's promised us to live. God's word is how we grow when we keep him first. Number three, in God's word, we find purpose. So it's our foundation, it's how we grow, and God's word is our purpose. You know, the Bible tells us that when we seek him, we're going to find him. And that gives us purpose in life. And it bothers me, and I come back to it and back to it and back to it. The statistics that you hear nationally about people that are committed in a Bible believing local church, that between 8 and 9 out of 10 of them have no idea what their purpose is. I'll tell you, it's criminal, I believe, for church leadership to allow that to happen. So let me just help you. That for you to be able to have that perfecting progression toward purpose in your life, true purpose. I'm telling you, I'm living God's purpose in my life. Pastor Sandy's living God's purpose in her life. And it's to help you fulfill your purpose. What's in your heart? No, for real, what's in your heart? See, you may not realize it, but we operate by a strict standard of servant leadership. And every leader in this church is like that. There's no dictator. There's nobody commanding people. No, you know what? You go, I go. You fight, I fight. One fights, we all fight. But see, we have to understand that in that perfecting progression toward purpose in our lives is the word comes alive to us. See, what faith does, the measure of faith that Jeremy spoke so eloquently of earlier as he's ministering during the offering, is what that measure of faith does is that measure of faith causes the word to come alive in us. See, so it's not just the logos of God, something that's written, it becomes the rhema of God, where now it's coming out of your mouth. And you know what it sounds like? You know what God's word sounds like? It sounds like amazing. It sounds like health. It sounds like over the top. Man, let me say something, and then I want you to repeat what I'm about to say. And I want you to listen to yourself say it. okay? When I get finished, when I point, I want you to repeat it. But I want you to hear it coming out of your mouth. And I want you to see how amazing it sounds. Man, there's a lot of things that I'm thinking, okay, I got this idea. I want to share this idea with you. That idea was amazing in my head, but when I heard it come out of my mouth and it was in a room full of people, it didn't sound the same. Okay, so that's what differentiates my ideas from God's promise. Okay, are you guys ready? Now, don't start talking until I point at you. Everything I put my hand to prospers. Say it again. Nobody here is going, I can't believe I just said that. No, it sounds good. It is. It's amazing. I even think about that I'm saved by grace through faith. That one principle. Really, we ought to take a whole year. And that's just the statement of the second mile. We are going to break that down for a year. What if you're suffering an addiction? What if addiction has a stranglehold on you tonight? What if you had revelation of that you're saved, you're rescued, you're redeemed, you're made whole, nothing missing, nothing broken, by God's power, through trust. If I just trust God, wait a second, he'll save me from this addiction. He'll save me from ruining my marriage. He'll save me from bankrupting my children. He'll save me because that's why the writer wrote, listen, that this is so great a salvation. Do you know it's more than you need? It exceeds any human need on this planet. See, that's how powerful this is. Everything that I put my hand to prospers. Man. You know what happened? Doubt fell off. Unbelief dropped to the ground with no life left in it. And I'm a believer in Jesus. I believe every word that's come out of his mouth. And God's given me his Holy Spirit to remind me of everything that he's ever said and show me things that I didn't know. And this, my hope, it brings all my hope into him. The Bible says some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we just simply remember the name of the Lord our God. In God's word, we find purpose. Now, as baby Christians, some of you guys might be in here tonight. I remember when I was new in the Lord. When I was new in the Lord, you know what it was like for me? Like I'd see people laboring through trust in God and having such a hard time in life. Anybody in here have a hard time in life? Can I see your hands? You just have a hard time in life. The whole, like, first year and a half that I was a Christian, I talked to Jeff Perry about this week. Pastor St. Louis Family Church in Chesterfield, Missouri. It was like I started thinking, okay, I'm gonna follow Jesus. I'm gonna follow God in my life. I'm gonna put all my trust in God. I'm gonna make Jesus the Lord of my life and in whom I trust. Okay? I'm walking, and the next thing you know, there's one of those conveyor belt sidewalks, those moving sidewalks, like at the airport. Anybody ever been on one of those? And you're walking like this, except for you're walking faster than your legs are going. You're moving faster. It's unbelievable. Have you ever been on one of those, Tom? And then you look at other people, and they're carrying their bags and stuff, but they're not walking on that. And I'm walking by, and I'm like, and I'm looking at them like, you people are nuts. Look at me. Look at this. But that's how my whole first year and a half was as a Christian. I got on one of those conveyor belts that once in a while, if I just stopped and didn't take a step of faith and didn't, I would just be looking around in amazement and everything, and I'd still be moving. I'd still be progressing. That's what God's word does in our life. Man, I went out in the street every single night, didn't I, Sandy? Every single night. I prayed with everyone I saw. I'd pray with hundreds of people. I'd say, man, can I pray for you? They'd say, well, yeah. I'd say, God, I just thank you that your hand's on his life. God bless him. Matter of fact, why don't you just pray with me? Just pray with me. Father God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Christ. Here, you pray with me too. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I'm trusting you, God. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to burn in hell like I deserve. God, thank you for saving me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And I would leave, and I'd walk away. And I'm thinking, I think these guys are getting saved. And then I'd go to Bible school, and these guys would go, wait a second, are you thinking those people are getting saved? I said, I think they are. They said, are they true salvations? And at that time, I'd been a Christian like for 3 months, and I'm thinking, someone asked me if that was a true salvation. I'm hoping mine is. I'm not concerned about any of them. But you say, but when you look at it, you think, okay, that's nuts. Except for the nuts part wasn't praying with people. The nuts part was that the sidewalk that I was on following Jesus was moving, was progressing perfectly. Man, it was just, I'm going like this, except for I'm walking like this, but I'm walking. My legs aren't moving as fast as I'm going. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that's what God does with babies in the Lord, with babes in Christ. And then we get to a place where what he wants us to do is to be able to grow in wisdom and stature and the knowledge of him, for us to grow, our faith to grow strong. Where it's like, you know what, God, I thank you that I am well able and I'm fully equipped. I'm steadfast. How about this? Listen, I'm steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Everybody say, repeat that after me. I'm steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Go ahead and say it.
I'm steadfast, immovable.
That doesn't sound bad coming out of your mouth. You didn't go, oh my gosh. It maybe didn't make sense to your head, but I'm telling you, it's because spiritually things come alive when we talk like that. And see, that's what God's looking for us to do. Man, every promise that I heard from a teacher or from a preacher or anybody, I had a notebook and I'd just write it down. I'd write down every healing promise, I'd write it down. Every delivering promise, I'd write it down. Because the devil would try to rip me off, Terry. The devil would say, is this going to stick? Because I got all my old buddies, my old party buddies. Ah, Sheer's just going through a phase. He'll be back with us in no time. And I'm thinking, I'm not letting that happen. I wrote down every promise that I ever heard from God's word, every single one of them. I'd have notebooks of them. I'd go back through them, and I'd read them, and I'd reread them, and I'd read them again. I'd begin to confess them. I'm telling you, when that happens in your life, that perfect progression that God gives us for growth, for growing in him, growing toward that purpose, and it's just, it makes everything amazing. But when we're on track, see, God's just getting our sea legs under us. And when you get that, our faith, listen, your faith is like your muscles. We all have the same amount of muscles. But some people are stronger than others because they've exercised those muscles. They've activated those muscles. You want to have strong faith? You have to exercise your faith. You have to activate your faith. And all faith is trust. Where you trust in God's promise, you find it in the word, you stand on it, you cling to it. Because it's going to lay hold of you, and you're going to have to just lay hold of what's laid hold of you. But when we're on track, faith and seeking God are requirements to living a life of God's purpose. Faith and seeking God, that's it. I'm just telling you, after 36 years, That's how this works. So something, you get a bad diagnosis. How many of you guys have gotten a bad diagnosis? How many of you guys have ever gotten a bad diagnosis? Mary Lou, what was that diagnosis? You mind sharing? I don't want it to be personal. Yeah, 70% blockage. She said an artery, and arteries are important, so it doesn't matter which one she named. It was an important one. Arteries are important. And so there's this blockage. Well, you know what we could do? Man, we could go to Web MD, or we could go to Google, we could go to Wikipedia, we could go find it in God's Word, because it's so easy, man. The guys like me, that's not my go-to. But there's people in here. If you're 30 or younger, that's all you've experienced. You don't have to seek anything. It's all right there at your and using your thumb. But what if you truly sought God? It's like, okay, here's a report I got. Now, God, where are you? And you seek God's Word for that promise. That's perfect for that blocked artery. That's perfect for that diagnosis you got. And then you know what? You make it the foundation for your life. You make it the cornerstone. Because some people, let me tell you, that same cornerstone that you could make that as a place of faith, people make it a stumbling block. Oh, you're gonna trust God. Oh, you're gonna trust God. Oh, you're not gonna let doctors do it. Let doctors do it, but I'm gonna trust God. I'm putting all my trust in Him. What Proverbs says is, for whoever finds God finds life and obtains favor of the Lord. See, we just seek God, find Him in His Word. Man, find the God who loves you, find the God who values you over everything. See, what's interesting is that we can go back to the way people think in the world, and they could use nature to prove that there's a God. Well, you know what? What did Jesus say? How much more does God love you than he loves those birds, those lilies? How much more beautiful are you? God clothes those lilies, but how much more does God love you? How much more beautiful are you to God than those lilies? See, the nature doesn't prove God. His promises prove God. How much more? More than you could ask or even imagine. More than you could think. Man, but you can't go back to reasoning, and you can't go back to your experience, and you can't go back to traditions. You got to go back to Jesus. That's what we've left our first love. Return to your first love tonight. Put God first in your life. Let His promise be the foundation of your entire life and see what He does.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.